From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The nation's trade deficit is up sharply as surging oil prices fueled imports in January. NPR's Paul Brown reports that more than balanced out a rise in exports to all-time highs.
Exports can help boost U.S. job creation, and the government says in January the U.S. did export more than it ever has. But imports, including more and higher-priced oil, cars, and goods from heavy machinery to medical equipment, have jumped. That can have a negative effect on U.S. jobs. Most analysts expected the January trade imbalance to grow from December, but the increase is larger than they predicted. The politically sensitive trade imbalance with China shows no sign of easing. Imports from China are up slightly for January, while U.S. exports to China are down by more than 20%. Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.
Rebel fighters in Libya are fleeing the oil port of Ras Lanuf after being targeted by barrages of artillery and rocket fire by forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi. The offensive, part of Gaddafi's effort to take back rebel-controlled areas in the eastern part of the country. The European Union is toughening its economic sanctions against Gaddafi's government. Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton says the EU is also committed to helping the people of Libya.
The biggest messages are about ensuring that we're able to give humanitarian support, that we're able to deal with the issues of people who are fleeing out of Libya on the borders, which is very important to us to offer them support.
Ashton joins U.S. and NATO officials for meetings in Brussels today to discuss steps the alliance might take to halt the violent crackdown against the opposition in Libya. Britain's government is condemning the arrest and beating of a BBC TV news crew by security forces in Libya. Larry Miller reports the three men say they were held for 21 hours and accused of being spies.
They say they were beaten with fists and rifles, hooded and subjected to mock executions. Now free, they report seeing many other prisoners severely beaten and tortured. Cameraman Gokhte Kuralton.
I can't describe. It was horrible. The worst thing I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen a lot of bad stuff.
The British Foreign Office describes the crew's arrest and attack as yet another example of the horrific crimes being committed in Libya. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Foreclosure filings in the U.S. have dropped 14% last month, the sharpest declines coming in states where a court order is required to take back a home. Rick Sharga of the Realty Track research firm says the drop in foreclosure activity is not the result of any major rebound in the housing market.
The drop in foreclosure activity has been caused almost exclusively by ongoing problems with paperwork that were exposed as part of the robo-signing issue in the latter part of 2010.
On Wall Street, a sell-off is underway, energy stocks leading the slide. The Dow Industrial's down 172 points. The Nasdaq is off 44. This is NPR News. Illinois has become the 16th state in the nation to abolish the death penalty. NPR's David Shaper reports Democratic Governor Pat Quinn calls his decision to sign the legislation repealing capital punishment the most difficult call he has had to make as governor.
Quinn supported the death penalty last year in his campaign for his first full term as governor, but says after much reflection and review, he realized the exoneration of 20 men who had been convicted and sentenced to death in Illinois points to a system of capital punishment that is irreparably flawed.
It is impossible to create a perfect system, one that is free of all mistakes.
Illinois has not put anyone to death since 1999. Former Governor George Ryan imposed a moratorium on executions in 2000, and because of concerns about the large number of exonerations, he then commuted the death sentences of scores of death row inmates before leaving office in 2003. The death penalty was reimposed after legislative and judicial reforms, but Quinn says those changes are not foolproof. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
Legislation to strip public employees in Wisconsin of most of their collective bargaining rights has been approved by the state Senate. Republican lawmakers used a legislative maneuver to bring the measure to a vote last night without the need for any Democratic lawmakers to be present. Democratic State Senator Peter Barca complained at a committee hearing heard on WMTV that holding the vote without proper notice was a violation of law.
No, listen, it says if there's any doubt as to whether good cause exists, the governmental body should provide 24 hours notice. This is clearly a violation of open meetings law.
The bill now goes back to the state assembly for expected approval. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR